It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Can we go back to this Tickle Tuesday thing? Are you saying that you tickle your own...
Stop.
Here.
Okay.
Wait, no,
no one
needs more information on Tickle Tuesday. Why are you asking about this?
Yeah, John pushes the envelope.
Yeah, no, but no one wants to know.
I will define Tickle Tuesday.
No.
I'm going to give you one time what Tickle Tuesday means. Tickle Tuesday means with the bidet, sometimes 99.9% of the time, you got to when you go to the bathroom, use the bidet, it does its job. Every once in a while, Tickle Tuesdays, I might utilize the bidet even if I don't have to go to the bathroom.
Oh, my God.
Hence Tickle Tuesday.
Oh, no.
That's 8 o'clock.
My worst fears have been confirmed.
Yeah, it is like breakfast time right now.
I can't
believe
that. That's what Tickle Tuesday is.
People are trying to start
misuse
their day off on a good note.
Bidet.
You guys don't know this bidet,
technology,
man. This bidet is unbelievable. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Dennis in Springfield. It's certainly better than the Phillies are. Hello, Dennis.
Yo, good morning, gang. One of the things with being on hold a while is you hear everything you want to talk about. But from what I've seen of this team...
So you want to talk about Tickle Tuesday?
Go ahead, Dennis.
You know what? I'm going to leave that.
You also are things you don't want to talk about, yeah.
All right, Dennis, what do you got on the Phils?
The thing with the Phils, and I've seen it for the last... The honeymoon is over with this team. This team has basically gotten a pass for the last 2.5 years. And what I see when I look at this team, I see a team that is totally comfortable and totally content. And I don't see the manager doing anything to upset the apple cart.
Well, clearly Dallas Green, this would be a moment for him, and probably 2 weeks ago would have been a moment for him. Now, listen, there are different ways to win in life. You can win, and I always use college basketball because to me it's the starkest contrast. You can win as Bobby Knight. You can win as John Wooden. All right? So it's not to say you can't win with Rob Thompson, but I know this. I need Rob Thompson right now, to have some Dallas Green in him.
Some Earl Weaver in him.
Yeah. It's
Earl Weaver's birthday.
No way. Is it really?
I believe it is. Yeah.
So you know what I mean, Dennis? Like, and listen, maybe he'll do it. I mean, he alluded last night to, you know, maybe shaking some stuff up. Maybe that means... You go in there and it's a meeting. Maybe it means you start screaming at dudes.
It's time. It's time to let it rip. It's
time
to roar.
The thing is, it just seemed at the trade deadline, the main topic of conversation was we can't screw up this culture.
That was a big one.
Yeah,
screw
up this vibe. And they didn't screw up the culture. They didn't screw up the vibe. That has got to change. And there's a triumvirate of players that are buddies, that are best friends, and you got to screw up one of them. And it's Harper, Turner, and Stott. Stott is Harper's buddy from Vegas. Turner is Harper's best friend in all of baseball. You bench one of them. For whatever, because
Dennis, let me ask you a question, because it's an interesting phone call here. Let me ask you a question. You're obviously not right now going to move off of Harper. You might move off of Stott. Rhea's idea, minors, obviously other people saying, you know, play him 2 days a week. All right. But those guys are Phils, like Phils. Would you send down Garrett Stubbs, bring up Marchant, so that the other guys recognize, because he's part of that culture too, there are consequences.
No messing around.
You know, he might have to be sacrificial lamb.
That's a really interesting thought.
You know, like, guys, there are repercussions
this
for non-performance.
This is the kick in the ass.
Yeah.
I would absolutely do that, but like the pitcher last night, Walker, I don't think it sends a big of a message.
Well, Walker's a relatively short-term problem within this season.
That wouldn't have any effect.
He's not going to pitch much longer this year.
They'd probably be happy to see him not stepping on the hill for them anymore.
Yeah, I'm talking about like that year the Cowboys were about to play in the playoffs. And that dude falls asleep or whatever that thing was. That's whatever, right? That guy did.
Fell asleep at a team meeting.
And Jimmy Johnson cuts him right before the playoffs. It wasn't about that player. It's Jimmy Johnson telling the other 52 players, guys, we're gearing up to go win a championship. None of that crap's acceptable. Gone. That's what I'm talking about with Stubbs. All right, Dennis, give me an answer. What was a non-tragic bummer?
All right, but before that, I agree with Rhea. I don't know if I would send Stott down, but I would bench him. And strictly for the personal reason is, I don't need to hear that song anymore.
Well, I still like it, but it's hard to vibe to it when he can't hit. Dennis, give me a non-tragic bummer.
All right, a bummer for me would have been the final episode of The Sopranos.
Yeah, it's an interesting answer. I mean, certainly...
It was unfulfilling.
The very end was unfulfilling, that's for sure. Let's go to Ken in Cinnaminson. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing all right, Ken.
Yeah, well, good for you.
Frustrated.
I didn't think my morning could get any worse, and then I had to listen to a definition of Tickle Tuesday.
But you already kind of knew, right, Ken? I think I alluded to that before.
No, I didn't
I had
know.
Blocked it out of my brain, Joe. So
that might be it.
Okay.
Listen, I know Ruben told us yesterday that even though we can't see it, there's all this urgency in Rob Thompson that boils below the surface. That's nonsense. You know, Ralph Waldo Emerson said, your actions speak so loudly, I cannot hear what you say. Rob Thompson has not done anything to try and change this lineup or try and change the construction of this team that he puts on the field.
You know, Ken, I'll just say this. You may be right. You might be wrong. You're right about the lineup, okay? That you're right about. But the behind-the-scenes stuff, we don't really know. After he was gone, is when the report came out that Rob Thompson earlier in the year had lit into Soto.
Yeah.
So we didn't know it in the moment. A lot of people listening right now probably still didn't know it if you missed that report a couple weeks ago. So you don't know that he hasn't lit into individual players. You don't know that. We do know from a in-game changed thing and lineup changed thing, he's very, 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 very slow to change things in that regard.
Let me tell you something. Jim Leland would have already benched Bryce Harper in-game a month and a half ago.
That's probably right. That's probably right.
And speaking of Jim Leland, I want you to imagine a scenario where Jim Leland's the manager of his team, and, you know, he's not 90, so he's the manager of this team. And Dave Dombrowski and Sam Fold come into his office and say, hey, I know we're in a funk here, and I know things are bad, but, you know, we're paying Taijuan Walker all this money, so you got to give him baseball tonight. You got to let him start this baseball game. There's no way that's happening.
Well, I will tell you this. From my standpoint, I think starting Taijuan was the right decision every single time this season through last night, no longer. Like, because they had such a big lead, I was okay with them trying it earlier in the year. I think it was worth trying to bring him back. See if after whatever he was gone a month, if you could reestablish.
Clearly, but now we've learned
he can't.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, Ken, I'm okay with that. I really am. In part because of the investment. And in part because, while he didn't have like tremendous career accomplishment, there is a reason the guy got a $72 million contract. I mean, he was a decent, it was a slightly above average pitcher. And I think that was worth trying to find out if it was still there.
When you're going through what they're going through, it doesn't matter how much money the guy makes. And I will say this. There are 43 games left in this season. The Phillies would have to win 21 of those 43 games. They would have to go 21-23 over those last 43 games just to hit 90 wins. You should all prepare yourselves for the reality that this team is not going to win 90 games.
Okay, we'll find out. Ken, give me an answer. What was a non-tragic bummer?
Well, in the end, it didn't turn out to be a bummer, but can any of us forget how we felt Monday morning waking up after Carson Wentz?
That's a great answer, man.
I thought about it this morning as an answer.
That's a great answer.
Very, very good answer.
And we've had a few of them as Philadelphia sports fans. After T.O., I was producing Howard's show in 2004, and when T.O. got injured, I think it was the next day, was the press conference. And Rick Burkhalter sat next to Andy Reid. And we carried that press conference live on WIP. During Howard's show, I was producing the show. I will never forget when it was announced that T.O. was out. Well, I don't want to say he was out for the year. I don't remember the exact words. That's what it ultimately became. Yeah. But like, basically, he's probably not playing the rest of the year. And I remember Howard looked at me with this look of like, Ugh. I can, we all felt that way. Like this look of like, oh my God, T.O.'s done for the year, probably. We had it then. We had it with Carson. We had it with Randall in 91. Lindros, obviously, 2000. I mean, it's a different scenario. It's game seven. It's a very serious concussion. We see him sprawled on the ice. I mean, there have been a couple injuries that really gutted us. And obviously, Carson, 2017, is a pretty damn good answer there. 215-592-9494. Phone calls on all of these topics. Plus, Elliot Sure-Parks. He joins us at 8:30 on the Eagles practice yesterday against the Patriots. Upcoming game tomorrow. All of this plus your calls heaviest today on the Phils. On 94 WIP.
The weather outside is cooling down. You know that smell in the air. We got pumpkin spice coming soon. That means people are going to be hitting people. Football is approaching, and it's time to get in on the action early this season. Let's talk NFL futures bets. Visit FanDuel.com/JONR to sign up today. And then we got tons of different player props like passing yards and touchdowns, rushing and receiving totals, and so much more. Also, will our birds make the playoffs? Will the birds win the division? And you can bet all the Super Bowl matchups. You can parlay together different picks for even bigger payouts. And right now, new customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. There's no better place to get ready for the football season than on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook and official sports betting partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 94 WIP.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, possible future president. Right now, I'm just trying to figure out the Philly situation. Good morning.
Impossible future president.
We shall say.
Accurate.
All right, so we've expressed a lot of opinions today, as have many callers on the Phillies. Let's start this segment with some facts. Reminder, by the way, Elliot Sure-Parks joins us in 10 minutes to chronicle more on the Eagles' practice yesterday from the Patriots and, of course, playing New England tomorrow. So let's start with some facts as it relates to the Phillies right now and then right back to the calls. I've got two topics written down here. One is streaks and one is standing. So let's start with the streaks topic. Or streaks might not even be the right word, but you'll get my point. All right, they've lost four in a row. That's a fact. They are 7-16 since the All-Star break. That is the second worst record in Major League Baseball. Those are two facts. Since getting on the plane to go to London with totally the best record in baseball and a phenomenal sense of pride throughout the Delaware Valley that the Phillies were what they were, the Phillies, since getting on that plane to go to London, are 25-31. Put another way, they're 24-30 since returning from London. Those are facts. Now let's get to more facts as it relates to the standings. There is still some good news in here, and we shouldn't lose sight of that, but we shouldn't overdwell on it. The Phillies are 69-50, which on August 14th, with 43 games left in the season, means they are six games up on the Atlanta Braves. That's a really still very quality number. The problem is the arrow's pointing down, and the problem also is like the Eagles last year, there are times in sports where it really doesn't matter. Really doesn't matter what your record is as you enter the playoffs. It's like, what are you when you enter the playoffs? And of course, they're not there yet. There's still a month and a half to go in the regular season. But right now, okay, I'll give you an opinion. They're not a very good team right now.
No.
So six games up on Atlanta, it feels Eagles-ish, you know, from last year. Not all the way there, but it's got a chunk of that. All right. They're a game and a half behind the L.A. Dodgers, who won last night. The Dodgers are now a game and a half up for the top spot, if you will, the number one seed. We never use that term in baseball, but the number one seed for the National League playoffs for home field advantage. And the Phillies are only two games up on the Milwaukee Brewers, who did lose last night, so that helps. Two games up on Milwaukee for the two seed, which also happens to be give you a bye in the first round. Those are all facts. Look, your chance to react to that, but more so, how you feel right now as a Phillies fan. Again, anyone that watched that game last night probably knows, I mean, no one's refuted it, okay, that it felt like it was over in the first inning. And it shouldn't. I mean, okay, Taiwan gives up two. All right, that's clear. Let's not start him anymore. But the game with Trey Turner and Bryce Harper and JT and Marsh and Stott and Castellanos and Schwarber, like, the game shouldn't be over when it's 2-0 entering the bottom of the first. But to me, it felt over. And I feel pretty justified in having felt that way because I've seen this team, obviously, right, for the last month play like this. And we know that we just didn't have much hope last night.
They didn't even threaten.
They didn't even threaten to score last night.
There wasn't even a, second and third one out. Yeah. Like, there was nothing like that.
And that's where, and I'm not saying they're all the way there because it's too early to say they're all the way there, but that's where it does feel 2023 Eagles-ish. You know, like, you're you know, now look, they can still, what's the term, stem the tide? I mean, they can do that. But let's go, boys. Let's go. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Say how you feel, what you think, and also, what would you change? We've had some very interesting suggestions today on what the Phillies should do differently with the lineup and the construction of the baseball team. We'll chronicle some of them coming up shortly because I've been writing them down. Some very interesting ideas. What would you change to try to, you know, change things? Drew in Westchester. Drew, good morning.
Hi, folks. I'm going to offer a serious solutions, but Joe, I think we're a couple games away from having to go to Cher here and tell him to snap out of it.
So,
like,
that was
the first thing that I thought of when I woke up this morning.
Sure, it's very practical.
It's very, very interesting you say that. I also thought about that last night. So let me just give backstory for everyone listening. Most people probably don't know what we're talking about.
It's a desperation move.
Yes, and I don't think we're there yet, but we will get
there. We're pretty close.
No, we are. We will. So here's the backstory for those that don't know. There are three times in the history of our show in the midday show. Three times, if you remember the movie Moonstruck, Cher slaps that guy and says, snap out of it, where we pulled that audio out.
Slaps that guy.
We had, it was almost like a, it was a moment within the show where we said, like, it was like a ritual. Like, we were doing a ritual to try to get something in Philadelphia sports to snap out of it. It's got a good batting average, 667. The three times we've done it, two times it worked, once it didn't. We did it in 2017 for Nick Foles and the Eagles entering the playoffs after he and they had struggled at the very end of the season.
And they did struggle in a
big
way.
Time.
Nick Foles was horrendous.
Correct.
For those who don't recall, like, we glossed it over.
He was horrible.
We put the green colored glasses on. He was bad.
Oh, he was horrible. All right, so it worked then. We next pulled it out in
20. Did one of you people want Sudfeld to start?
Well, John
was. John did. Yeah.
All right. We next pulled it out. We next pulled it out in 2020, probably about a third or halfway through the Carson debacle, like trying to turn Carson's career back around. It did not work then.
Carson was unsnap out of it.
Correct. And then the last time we pulled it out was the 2022 Phils when they were 21-29 on June 1st. And we literally did it on June 1st, and they hit a freaking rocket ship going to the moon and started playing incredible baseball. So, yes.
That was the beginning of the Rob Thompson era.
It was. I think they hired Rob Thompson the next day.
The next day.
So anyway, Drew, fired the next day.
It really did feel like there was an immediacy to the results on that one.
No, it was incredible. But I also wore the Tom Cruise Top Gun outfit to the Phillies game.
And we also talked to John Middleton that day. All our callers going.
All right. So, we're open minded, Drew, to using that. What do you got for us, Drew, and what they're actually doing?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm a massive Phillies fan, but I'm also like just a big baseball fan. I like following the happenings around the league. And I know he's fiery with umpires, but Aaron Boone with the Yankees has a reputation for being pretty light on his players, similar to Topper. And 2 weeks ago, I know he just finally decided he had enough. He benched Gleyber Torres for a lack of hustling in the middle of a game. And since then, Gleyber's been hitting 300. And nice. I think the Yankees are not setting the world on fire, but they're like 7-4 since then. I need Topper to pull someone mid-game.
I like him to create character here.
I just think a team's culture, a team's vibe, typically isn't tested until you're up against it. Like, what you think can be really good could sometimes actually be toxic.
And
if they love Topper as much as they say they do, they're going to take it seriously. Like, the whole reason you love people up is so you can come down on them, like, when they
need to. No, I get it. Drew, great comments here. Give me an answer for what was a non-tragic bummer. You can win the tickets to watch the Eagles and Packers from the Link when they play that game in Brazil.
Yeah, so I think this was about 15 years ago. Kanye interrupting Taylor Swift's VMA.
Yeah, that was not a good moment. Kanye
good
again.
Answer.
Kanye, you know, it's funny. Taylor Swift, for not being that old, she's been around a long time.
What, 13?
Yeah.
Right?
Wasn't she 13 when she sang at the Phillies?
I don't know
the national anthem?
Could be. I mean, I know she was singing down the shore when she was a teenager. You know, I mean, there's spots down shore points that she was singing.
She's been prominent for a really long time.
She has.
She deserves it. I mean, she's a talent
Is she over 40 or I mean, she's probably, what, 35?
No, 30. Yeah, she's in her 30s. I think 33 or 34, somewhere there.
Man.
Like that. Yeah.
I think she and Travis are the same age.
Believe they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. 35 or 36. So older than
she's
her.
Pretty accomplished for mid-30s. That's amazing. All right, let's get to Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Whether you want gas or electric, Armin has an Equinox for you. Armin's offering great quality savings on Equinoxes. So together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. All right, first poll question related to the hitters. Whose struggles concern you the most? Is it Brandon Marsh, JT, Bryson Stott, or Trey Turner? Second poll question, whose struggles amongst these pitchers concern you the most? Is it Alvarado, Aaron Nola, Christopher Sanchez, or Ranger? Now, obviously, different levels of past accomplishment for those eight players, expectations for those eight players, and different levels of struggles for those eight players. But, you know, you can make a case, I think, for all of them within the answer. So all eight of them are struggling to different degrees right now. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. We'll talk to Elliot Shore Parks coming up in about 2 minutes. Let's go to John in Allentown right now. Hi, John.
Guys, you know what the biggest bummer is? Waiting online for over 2 hours to say the ridiculous stuff that I'm getting ready to say.
I understand.
What do you got, John?
John, I'm sorry. We do get a lot of calls, my man. I really am.
Sorry, brother. I understand, you know, the Hammer's back in town, and, you know, it's nice to have you back.
Thanks.
I like hearing your voice in there in the morning.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that.
Guys, I'm gonna do this real quick, and I'm going to drop the mic and get out of here because – I got to get ready to drop a load somewhere.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I drive a truck, guys. Come on.
I got to
take care of the customer here.
Sure.
I've been sounding this alarm for weeks, months, and now here we are. And I'm going to tell you guys right now, Eagles go to the Super Bowl following year, epic collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Phillies go to the World Series. Following year, they don't make it again. Here we are. Epic.
Well, it's two years since the Phillies went to the World Series. But look, if they fall all the way down and don't get up like that lady in that commercial.
The Eagles last year and now epic collapse.
It's a similar level of pressure, is that what you're saying?
It's starting to get ratcheted up based on where they were and where they are and how we feel watching them play. I mean, this, again, to me, as it relates to last year's Eagles, they're sort of in, like, the Seattle game range now. You know, like, it's not over. And I didn't think it was over at Seattle, but it was like, what in, like, the hell is going on with my football team? That's kind of where I'm at right now with the Eagles. I mean, excuse me, with the Phillies. It's just, it's not good. All right, John, give me an answer here. What was a bummer, non-tragic, but still a bummer?
2022 Super Bowl. When I realized that the Bradberry penalty ended our chances to win the Super Bowl.
That's a great answer. The Bradberry penalty, you knew it was over. I mean, you could just do the math real simple.
Terrible way for that game to end.
It was a bad way for it to end, and you looked at the clock, and you looked at the timeouts, and you looked at where the Chiefs were on the field, and you just said, yeah, the game is over. They're going to hit a chip shot field goal, and the football game is done. That's a really good answer. 215-592-9494. All right, let's get some answers. Speaking about the Eagles with our next guest, Elliot Shore Parks. Eagles might otherwise normally be front and center, but such a debacle from the Phils last night. Phils have taken the lead today for obvious reasons, but Elliot does a phenomenal job covering the Birds. By the way, A.J. Brown said something yesterday. He may have had Elliot in mind. We'll get to that audio shortly. From New England, where the Eagles practiced yesterday against the Patriots and will play tomorrow night against the Patriots. Our guy, Elliot Shore Parks. Good morning, Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Great.
All right. So, by the way, Seltzer says you're back. You're not.
I am back. Yes.
Yeah, he's going to be in here at 10 o'clock, so we can record a podcast together.
And then you're going back to New England tomorrow?
No, no, won't be at the preseason.
No preseason travel. All right. WIP doesn't pay for the preseason travel.
That would be a lot of money, WIP. You know, would be
no, I understand that. I mean, you can do what you need to do watching TV.
We got to get to the important stuff here, Joe. Elliot got to see this scrimmage.
Let's talk about
yesterday.
It. All right, John, first
it's
question.
A big
go
deal.
For it. Go for it.
So, who won the scrimmage, Elliot? Don't you keep a tally of the joint practice stuff?
I do. And first, let me say, your genuine excitement for practice truly warms my heart. So I'm excited.
Thank you. Well, let me tell you, your adherence to every minor detail of practice warms the cockles of my heart.
We're talking about practice.
That. So here's what I would say. They dominated that practice.
Good.
They won the practice. Sirianni and Jalen moved to 9-2 in joint practices in 2021. And I thought what was most encouraging about how they won yesterday was they won with defense. The offense was good, and we'll get into that. But the defense, as they should have, dominated a really bad Patriots offense. The defensive line, I thought, had their best day of camp. There was a session of plays where they had 4 or 5 sacks in a row. Bryce Huff had a sack. 2 of the linebackers had a sack. Brandon Graham had a sack. And then on top of that, they did something they haven't done off of Jalen all of training camp. They created not one but 2 turnovers. One was forced by N'Kobe Dean, picked off by Zach Vaughn, and the other was intercepted by Jeremiah Trotter Jr. So just a really strong showing from the defense.
Well, you know, Elliot, it feels like Trot Jr. and N'Kobe have done more than was expected. Is that fair to say with them in training camp?
Absolutely. To start with N'Kobe, obviously I've covered N'Kobe since he's been here, and he's made more plays in these past like 6 practices than he has in the first 2 years combined.
Good for him. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, I think that getting consistent, healthy snaps has really helped him. Now, I don't know if it'll be enough to make him the starting linebacker snap 1 week 1, but if you would have asked me a week ago, I thought Zach Bond would have gotten 75% of the snaps. Now, I think there's a shot they're going to try to get N'Kobe out there. He's been really good overall, and he's improving in coverage, which I think is the most encouraging aspect of it.
Elliot, when you say we're getting pressure, who are the players who are getting pressure? Is it some of the inside linebackers, you know, like Trot and Devin White and Zach Bond and N'Kobe? We know that it looks like Vic Fangio likes to sugar those guys up and mess with offensive minds and schemes. But I didn't think we'd be getting pass rush. Who is getting the pressure?
So they did send a fair amount of blitzes yesterday on both sides. The Patriots blitzed the Eagles quite a bit as well. So 2 of the linebackers yesterday that got the sacks, one was Zach Bond, one was Van Sumeren against the second-team Patriots offense. So they brought pressure up the middle quite a bit. But I think one of the encouraging things was when they weren't, they were still getting organic pressure. Bryce Huff had a really nice play where he just straight beat his man and got to Jacoby Brissett. Brandon Graham had a really good day. So they got pressure a couple of ways. In fact, you know, being on the sideline there, the Patriots writers we were standing next to were actually like in awe of the Eagles pass rush and how well they were dominating.
Well,
so Elliot, you can tell the Patriots aren't used to seeing good players recently.
Was it good defense? Was it awesome pass rush, or are the Patriots that bad? Like, should we take major encouragement from this, Elliot?
Well, it sounds like the Jonathan Gannon question of 2022, right? Like, does it matter? Yeah, so no, for sure. I mean, the Patriots are going to be really bad this year. I mean, one of the best plays they had on offense yesterday was actually made by Jalen Reagor down the field. It was about a 40-yard catch he made over Kelee Ringo. So their skill players are really bad. They don't have a good quarterback. Their offensive line is okay. I will say they have a few nice players. But, yes, there is no question the Patriots, like, that was a bad offense they went
up. So, Elliot, I want to get to the Eagles, though, but I want to ask you one more on the Eagles' D. Is Jalen Carter going to be the Eagles' best defensive player this year?
Yes, and I'm happy you brought him up because he had a set of drills yesterday in 11-on-11 where he just flashes, and he's one of those players where when he flashes, he looks like the best player in the NFL on defense. Like, he looks that good when he's playing to his potential. He had a really nice play where he got right to the quarterback. He had a really good play where he shot up the middle, got to the running back. And then the third play, the interior lineman was so, I would say, like, spooked by, you know, what was happening that he jumped offside. So Jalen Carter like had a session where you just watch him and go, this is why he was arguably the number one pick in the draft.
So I'm rifling, Elliot, I'm rifling through in my mind, and I tend to think Fletcher was the Eagles' best defensive player in 2013. It's hard for me to remember it all, but the point is, by year two, Fletcher was pretty damn dominant, and hopefully hopefully Jalen Carter can follow that sort of path. All right, let's talk offense, Elliot. Jalen, I mean, high marks again from you with what you put out on social media. Can you frame to everyone listening who didn't see it, which is just about everybody, what Jalen did yesterday?
Yeah, so I'll answer the first question everybody's wondering. The streak does live on. He's at 219 consecutive passes in training camp without an interception. He did have one throw yesterday that was close. He tried to squeeze it into Goddard. I thought it was a bit of a risky throw. But outside of that, I thought he had three throws yesterday that were really good, and they were all down the field. So one was a throw to Devontae down the left sideline in 7-on-7. It was just a perfectly placed throw to Devontae. I think in a game it might have been a touchdown. They called him down, but it was a really nice throw. He made what was probably his throw of camp so far, a wheel route to Saquon down the right sideline. Saquon had some space, but he had to put it like in the front corner of the end zone to kind of squeeze it in there. So that was a really, really nice throw. And then to end the day, he had a throw to AJ. AJ was coming across on like a crossing route from the right side to the left side, and he put it right over the fingertips of a defender right before the sideline. So the precision was definitely on. He was 24 of 28, one touchdown, no interception. And the offense, you know, I thought they could have been better, but I thought they were still good.
Who showed the most flashes at receiver? We know AJ and Devontae are 1 and 2. We're looking for three. Paris Campbell in and out with the injuries. Who's going to be the three? What was the trend yesterday?
So Paris Campbell was back yesterday. I don't think he did any team drills, though. He was just doing individual. I would say the receiver that had the best day outside the top two was probably John Ross. But John Ross did most of that with the second team. I don't think Johnny Wilson had a very good practice. He didn't really flash in one-on-ones. I would say.
Hold Britton on, did Tucker, he have a bad practice because he didn't get any balls thrown his way, or a bad practice because he performed poorly?
So I would say a combination. He didn't really get a ton of targets in the team drills. I think he got maybe two targets in the team drills, and then in one-on-one. I just thought he could have been better there. There was one route where he pushed off and then kind of dropped the ball. So, you know, not like an alarming day, just not his best day of practice.
Elliot, yeah. I'm starting to get excited on Britton Covey at wide receiver, and I need you to tell me whether I should be excited or not. So I saw Amendola come out of nowhere to be pretty good in the slot. We saw it with Wes Welker. We've seen it with a few dudes that it was really not expected. Is Britton Covey actually a legitimate option to be an effective slot receiver for the Eagles this year?
Yeah, I think the best way I would answer that is I don't think at this point any of us can say, because I don't think any of us at this point thought he would even get to this stage, right? When he was signed as an undrafted free agent, he was viewed as strictly a punt returner. Like, I thought there was no shot he would ever be even a viable option.
And he became a great punt returner in the NFL. I mean, he went from a guy in 2022, let's just frame this for a second. When they were riding high in 2022, pretty much winning every week, he was like the worst Eagle for half the season. And people are like, this guy's got to get cut. And then he pulled it together by the end of the year. They did cut him briefly. Yeah, one time, right? And
he went to the practice squad.
That's right.
Remember?
Yeah, but I meant cut. But yeah, fair enough, right? But then in 2023, I mean, he was a great punt returner last year. And if he can give him something on offense, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think what's encouraging about what he's done is, look, he's never going to win, you know, jump balls or anything like that.
No.
But he is very quick, and he catches everything thrown his way. So at the line of scrimmage, he actually creates a decent amount of separation just because he does have such a quick first step. We'll see if it translates to game. But at this point, I'm not going to sit here and say he can't do it, because he's already exceeded, I think, anyone's expectations.
Elliot, who played the most right guard with the ones against the Patriots?
It was exclusively Mekhi Becton. At this point, it is his job. There was a play yesterday where he went down, looked like he was grabbing his hip a little. He kept practicing. I mean, that's something to monitor for when they get back from New England, see if he practices. I'm assuming he will, but barring an injury or anything like that, I think it is Mekhi Becton.
All right, Elliot, two final things here. So Belichick's name came up yesterday. Nick Sirianni heard the name, right? Can you explain that moment when a fan started talking about Belichick?
Yeah, so after Sirianni's press conference, he just where it was situated, he was pretty close to some fans. And he walked by, and this kid, like, he couldn't have been older than 9. He was yelling at everybody. And he just yelled, you know, something like, "Hey, Nick, Bill will have your job next year," or something like that. So for a 9-year-old, I respect his, you know, really paying attention to the rumor mill. But, you know, he also asked Jalen for his autograph. So I guess it was a bit of a hit or miss.
There you go. All right. So that's a kind of a funny moment from camp. The other one.
What did Nick, how did Nick respond to that?
I'm sure he ignored it, right?
I'm not sure Nick heard it. I mean, he was close. Okay. Like, I'd imagine.
Even if he did, I'm sure he just went about his. He's not going to get into it with the 9-year-old, hopefully.
You know, he could say to him,
"No, I wouldn't put it past
maybe
him."
Maybe he goes Bobby Knight. You know,
well, you better get your head out of your ass.
He starts screaming at the 9-year-old. Who knows? All right, Elliot. The other thing that cracked me up yesterday, and obviously I see this from afar because I'm here. You were there, and the players were there, and all. But AJ Brown talking because you've been, you know, on this. You know, Jalen hasn't thrown an interception thing, and you know, I can't quite
official stat keeper of Eagles training camp.
I can't quite tell Elliot, like, if you're totally serious about this stuff or if it's like three quarters tongue in cheek. So, AJ,
what's not serious about numbers?
Numbers matter.
All right. So, well, ESPN had a show called Numbers Never Lie, but that was a horrible show. All right. So,
I used to be on that show.
Point made.
And then you got dismissed. And probably the show did not. I'm joking. All right. Listen, Elliot, I want to play A.J. Brown yesterday because I'm thinking he's probably talking about you, Elliot. Here's A.J. Brown yesterday when asked about, you know, no interception and all that. It's kind of cool. And A.J. on Jalen and the streak.
You can't really worry about that stuff. You know, none of that stuff matters. You know, is he coming out here executing? Yes. And that's all that matters. I know you guys keep stats and all this other stuff, but, you know, this is practice. You know, who cares if you throw an interception? Who cares? It doesn't matter. It's practice. We trying new things, and I try new stuff. When I'm doing releases and stuff, who cares if I lose? It's practice. It's when you're supposed to try. But I don't think nobody is getting too hyped that he hasn't thrown an interception. No, it doesn't matter about that. We trying to execute and keep working.
A.J. Brown.
We're talking about practice.
A.J. Brown just said, all right, so, Elliot, did he have you in mind when he said that?
Well, look, I have A.J. Brown down with 56 targets and 48 catches. So, you know, when it comes to tracking, I can track him as well. It sure sounds like it, but I think it does matter he hasn't thrown an interception.
Yeah,
you know,
it does.
That's good. It's a bit of a diss from A.J. in your way. Like, I don't know if he realizes that it really is cool that we have all that info.
I'm going to start a controversy. A.J.'s dissing Hurts and saying he stinks.
Major diss.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
To call back in a WIP.
There you go. Yeah. All good. Hey, Elliot, good work up there, buddy. We'll talk to you, man. Thanks, dude.
Talk to you soon.
Elliot Sher Parks. All right, we're going to get to some Kyle Schwarber audio coming up soon, what he said after last night's game. Let's talk to Nick in Wilmington. Obviously, the Phil's top of mind for most of us. 215-592-9494 to comment on any of it. Nick, good morning, buddy.
Hey, guys. I was going to ask how you're doing, but I'm getting the gist of the answer as the call keeps coming in.
Yep.
So, the only time that I went to the game last night, unfortunately, and the only time that I smiled last night was when 7 10-year-olds behind me were screaming, "You throw like a girl," to Taewon Walker. That was the only sarcastic laugh I had all day.
I take offense to that.
Yeah, is that PC anymore? Devin, is that PC?
It's funny.
I mean, yeah, it's funny.
I'm quoting a movie. I'm not saying it myself.
No,
funny. I was just teasing.
You're actually quoting a 10-year-old behind you, apparently. So.
Who's quoting people from 100 years ago and the way they thought. That's all right.
Also, I was pretty happy because I'm like, oh, these 10-year-olds know Sandlot. I'm like, this is great. Like, good for them. Their parents must be baseball players.
Look, you got that New England kid, 9 years old, ripping Sirianni. You got 10-year-olds last night ripping Taiwan. Exactly. So they get bred young as sports fans in the northeast section of the country.
So just a couple quick things. Number one, I agree with Rhea. Like, Marsh, I actually wanted Marsh to be traded at the deadline, to be very honest, because he can't hit against lefties. He's good at defense, but when you are so reliant on, like, this team, the only way they get runs is hitting home runs. And then when they don't hit home runs, when they have people in scoring position, they can't move anymore.
All right, so I'm writing down the ideas here, Nick. You're obviously saying don't play Marsh against lefties, but they pretty much don't. Are you saying don't play him against righties?
I'm saying that he should, like, there's a couple people that should be benched, but at least when Edmundo Sosa gets on the plate and he's hitting, I at least expect him to make contact and do something better than a Brandon Marsh or a Bryson Stott. Like, those guys, like, when you have Johan Rojas having a better batting average than these guys.
I know.
We were ragging on him
for
God knows how long.
Yep.
The point is moot about, is Marsh good and Stott, does he need to be in the lineup? I think, I like the one caller, he said, we need to shore up the middle of the field because it is a black hole. I mean, the errors yesterday that, I mean, actually, when I feel that now Boehm is your best infield defenseman, and we used to rag on him too, something's kind of wrong.
Yeah, no, like, he is their best, well, yeah, he is their best defender in the infield. And I'll say this, even the idea of moving Trey to second, that's not a hide-ya position. I mean, you know, second base isn't like nothing in baseball. It's not like left field. I mean, it's still pretty freaking – it's still up the middle. I mean, it's still literally up the middle. Less important than short, but still pretty freaking important. I mean, it's probably the fourth most important position in baseball defensively. It probably goes, what, catcher, short, center field, I don't know. Those three in the top three, and then second base.
And when they made only those little moves, I was expecting, like, at work, give me one more move that shows that we're serious about winning. And they didn't. And
no, didn't. All right, Nick, phenomenal phone call. Give me a non-tragic bummer. The Phillies, not quite a tragedy, but a big bummer. What do you got?
All right, so this is a big bummer, and I'm sure you can all relate because I had a couple answers that people take, but when your mom says, I'm not mad, I'm just very disappointed.
Oh,
that's a good answer.
Great answer.
Yeah, that really is
good. That is
good.
In the mom handbook.
Oh, man.
That's passed down through everyone.
And that is why, even before his mom or dad confronted him, for those that don't know, years ago, young John Ritchie, without having been scolded by his mom or dad for whatever he did, chose to go get a bar of soap and put it in his mouth himself.
Yeah, he washed his own mouth out without being told to.
Why? That's insane.
Well, Devin, do you know that that used to be a form of punishment?
Oh, yes.
Okay, because
yes.
I got that too. Like,
even,
you know.
Yeah, when it was always a threat. Never actually happened to me. But
I got it. The bar of soap in the mouth. I think I got it. I'm going to say that.
Richie,
well, it's a long time ago.
It's awful. It is really bad.
You just
if you
did
got
it yourself. Like, why?
I did.
What'd
I
you say?
I self-administered. I said, I said another word for urine.
Okay, yeah, the P word.
Oh, wow.
And it's
really not even a bad word.
Yeah,
but if you're a young kid,
it's really not that bad.
It's not that bad.
Like, you could say it on the radio.
Yeah,
don't.
But definitely.
As a parent, I won't.
Like, I wouldn't dump it if you said it.
I was firmly rebuked by my father. I remember I was in the back seat of the Ford Aerostar minivan coming back from a soccer tournament. And I felt very guilty. I knew I had wronged my dad and my mom and what they were expecting from
Dishonor to the family.
So the whole way home, like, we're coming back from, like, Virginia Beach. I felt like there's a dark cloud over me. So when we got back, that was the first thing that I did when
what
we got
did your parents
to my home.
Say?
I don't remember that.
So, Devin, this is why Seltzer and I have obviously known John the longest here, about 8 years on the show. By the way, we're 8-year anniversary coming up in like 2 months. This is why we say John was a coach's dream in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, John Gruden got him as a rookie, and
he's
it's
a self-reporter.
He could yell at him. Yeah. He could do anything he wanted
John
to.
John Ritchie,
because I mean, Ritchie, you know,
he probably punished himself worse.
Unbelievable. All right,
think about the job description for a fullback. When once upon a time, it was you're in there for 95% of the snaps, and you're going to go run 10 yards into someone who's running 10 yards into you, and you're going to ram heads every single play.
Ram heads.
And you're going to do that every single play in practice, every single day.
Right.
So that's probably 100 times. And then you're going to go do that for games also, and you're going to try to kill that guy, and he's going to try to kill you.
I'm not sure how we got from soap to that.
Yeah, all of a sudden we got into killing people. But I think you meant it metaphorically. All right.
Like, hey, Nick, Bill will have your job next year or something like that. So for a 9-year-old, I respect his, you know, really paying attention to the rumor mill. But, you know, he also asked Jalen for his autograph. So I guess it was a bit of a hit or miss.
There you go. All right. So that's kind of a funny moment from camp. Yeah. The other one.
How did Nick respond to that?
I'm sure he ignored it, right?
I'm not sure Nick heard it. I mean, it was close. Okay. Like, I'd imagine.
Even if he did, I'm sure he just went about his. He's not going to get into it with the 9-year-old, hopefully.
He could say, I wouldn't put it past him. Maybe he goes Bobby Knight. You know?
Well, you better get your head out of here.
He starts screaming at the 9-year-old. Who knows? All right, Elliot, the other thing that cracked me up yesterday, And obviously, I see this from afar because I'm here. You're, you know, you were there, and the players are there, and all. But AJ Brown talking, because you've been, you know, on this. You know, Jalen hasn't thrown an interception thing, and you know, I can't quite
official stat keeper of Eagles training camp.
I can't quite tell Elliot, like, if you're totally serious about this stuff or if it's like three quarters tongue in cheek. So AJ,
well, what's not serious about numbers?
Numbers matter.
All right, so well, ESPN had a show called Numbers Never Lie, but that was a horrible show. All right. So,
I used to be on that show.
Point made.
And then you got dismissed. And probably the show did not. I'm joking. All right. Listen, Elliot, I want to play A.J. Brown yesterday because I'm thinking he's probably talking about you, Elliot. Here's A.J. Brown yesterday when asked about, you know, no interception and all that. It's kind of cool. And A.J. on Jalen and the streak.
You can't really worry about that stuff. You know, none of that stuff matters. You know, is he coming out here executing? Yes. And that's all that matters. I know you guys keep stats and all this other stuff, but, you know, this is practice. You know, who cares if you throw an interception? Who cares? It doesn't matter. It's practice. We trying new things, and I try new stuff. And when I'm doing releases and stuff, who cares if I lose? It's practice. It's when you're supposed to try. But I don't think nobody is getting too hyped that he hasn't thrown an interception. No, it doesn't matter about that. We trying to execute and keep working.
A.J. Brown.
We're talking about practice.
A.J. Brown just said, all right, so, Elliot, did he have you in mind when he said that?
Well, look, I have A.J. Brown down with 56 targets and 48 catches. So, you know, when it comes to tracking, I can track him as well. It sure sounds like it, but I think it does matter he hasn't thrown an interception.
Yeah,
you know,
it does.
That's good.
It's a bit of a diss from A.J. in your way. Like, I don't know if he realizes that it really is cool that we have all that info. I'm going to start a controversy. A.J.'s dissing Hurts and saying he stinks.
Major diss.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding.
A call back in a WIP.
There you go. Yeah. All good. Hey, Ellie, good work up there, buddy. We'll talk to you, man. Thanks, dude.
Talk to you soon.
Elliot Sher Parks. Right, we're going to get to some Kyle Schwarber audio coming up soon, what he said after last night's game. Let's talk to Nick in Wilmington. Obviously, the Phil's top of mind for most of us. 215-592-9494 to comment on any of it. Nick, good morning, buddy.
Hey, guys. I was going to ask how you're doing, but I'm getting the gist of the answer as the calls keep coming in.
Yep.
So, the only time that I went to the game last night, unfortunately, and the only time that I smiled last night was when 7 10-year-olds behind me were screaming, "You throw like a girl," to Taewon Walker. That was the only sarcastic laugh I had all day.
I take offense to that.
Yeah, is that PC anymore? Devin, is that PC?
It's funny.
I mean, yeah, it's funny.
I'm quoting a movie. I'm not saying it myself.
No,
funny. I was just teasing.
You're actually quoting a 10-year-old behind you, apparently. So.
Who's quoting people from 100 years ago and the way they thought. That's all right.
Also, I was pretty happy because I'm like, oh, these 10-year-olds know Sandlot. I'm like, this is great. Like, good for them. Their parents must be baseball players.
Look, you got that New England kid, 9 years old, ripping Sirianni. You got 10-year-olds last night ripping Taiwan.
Exactly.
So they get bred young as sports fans in the Northeast section of the country.
So just a couple quick things. Number one, I agree with Rhea. Like, Marsh, I actually wanted Marsh to be traded at the deadline, to be very honest, because he can't hit against lefties. He's good at defense, but when you are so reliant on, like, this team, the only way they get runs is hitting home runs. And then when they don't hit home runs, when they have people in scoring position, they can't move anymore.
All right, so I'm writing down the ideas here, Nick. You're obviously saying don't play Marsh against lefties, but they pretty much don't. Are you saying don't play him against righties?
I'm saying that he should, like, there's a couple people that should be benched, but at least when Edmundo Sosa gets on the plate and he's hitting, I at least expect him to make contact and do something better than a Brandon Marsh or a Bryson Stott. Like, those guys, like, when you have Johan Rojas having a better batting average than these guys.
I know.
We were ragging on him.
I know.
For God knows how long.
Yep.
The point is moot about, is Marsh good and Stott, does he need to be in the lineup? I like the one caller, he said, we need to shore up the middle of the field because it is a black hole. I mean, the errors yesterday when I feel that now Boehm is your best infield defenseman, and we used to rag on him too, something's kind of wrong.
Yeah, no, like, he is their best. Well, yeah, he is their best defender in the infield. And I'll say this, even the idea of moving Trey to second, that's not a hide your position. I mean, you know, second base isn't like nothing in baseball. It's not. it's not like left field. I mean, it's still pretty freaking, it's still up the middle. I mean, it's still literally up the middle. Less important than short, but still pretty freaking important. I mean, it's probably the fourth most important position in baseball defensively. It probably goes, what, catcher, short, center field, I don't know. Those three in the top three, and then second base.
And when they made only those little moves, I was expecting, like, at work, give me one more move that shows that we're serious about winning. And they didn't.
No, they didn't. All right, Nick, phenomenal phone call. Give me a non-tragic bummer. The Phillies, not quite a tragedy, but a big bummer. What do you got?
All right, so this is a big bummer, and I'm sure you can all relate because I had a couple answers that people take, but when your mom says, I'm not mad, I'm just very disappointed.
That's a good answer.
Great answer.
Yeah, that really
that is.
That is
in the mom handbook. Oh, man. That's passed down through everyone.
And that is why, even before his mom or dad confronted him, for those that don't know, years ago, young John Ritchie, without having been scolded by his mom or dad for whatever he did, chose to go get a bar of soap and put it in his mouth himself.
Yeah, he washed his own mouth out without being told to.
Why? It's insane.
Well, Devin, do you know that used to be a form of punishment?
Oh, yes.
Okay, because I got that too. Like,
even,
you know.
Yeah, it was always a threat. Never actually happened to me. But
I got it. The bar of soap in the mouth. I think I got it. Let me say that.
Richie,
well, it's a long time ago.
It's awful. It is really bad.
You just did it yourself. Like, why?
I did.
What'd you say?
I self-administered. I said, I said another word for urine.
Okay, yeah, the P word.
Oh, wow.
And it's really not even a bad word.
Nah, but if you're a young kid,
it's really not that bad.
It's not
a
that
word.
Bad.
Like, you could say it on the radio.
Yeah,
don't.
But
you could.
Definitely.
As a parent, I won't.
Like,
want
I wouldn't
that,
dump so. It if no. you said it.
I was firmly rebuked by my father. I remember I was in the back seat of the Ford Aerostar minivan coming back from a soccer tournament. And I felt very guilty. I knew I had wronged my dad and my mom and what they were expecting from
me. Dishonor to the family.
So the whole way home, like, we're coming back from, like, Virginia Beach. I felt like there's a dark cloud over me. So when we got back, that was the first thing that I did when
we
got to my home.
What did your parents
say? I don't remember that.
So, Devin, this is why Seltzer and I have obviously known John the longest here, about 8 years on the show. By the way, we're 8-year anniversary coming up in like 2 months. This is why we say John was a coach's dream in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, John Gruden got him as a rookie, and
he's
it's
a self-reporter.
He could yell at him. Yeah. He could do anything he wanted
John
to.
Richie.
Because I mean, Richie, you know,
he probably punished himself worse.
Unbelievable. All right, let's think
about the job description for a fullback. When once upon a time it was you're in there for 95% of the snaps and you're going to go run 10 yards into someone who's running 10 yards into you, and you're going to ram heads every single play. And you're going to do that every single play in practice, every single day.
Right.
So that's probably 100 times. And then you're going to go do that for games also, and you're going to try to kill that guy, and he's going to try to kill you.
I'm not sure how we got from soap to that.
Yeah, all of a sudden we got into killing people. But I think you meant it metaphorically. All right.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.